Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Detoxification is the process of ridding the body of impurities, getting rid of all of the toxins that we have taken in through our eating, through our environment, and also through stress. Today's message on Intentional is to continue our conversation about the detoxification of America. And you might think, well, America is not really a person. It is a country. The United States is a country. North America is a continent. And so we're not really talking about a person, but are we really not talking about a living, breathing entity that is composed of people with thoughts and feelings and emotions and opinions? I think we need to take a closer look and look at this country as a person and look at what this person has gone through over the years. The highs, the lows, the uncertainties, the depressions, the wars, the fightings within and the fightings on other shores, the wars that have brought us to a place of almost shame and embarrassment. America is at a point in history as at no other time. Is at a time that we must detoxify so that this body of land, this body that we call home, can be healed from the inside out. While we're busy having mercy and compassion upon so many around the world, yet we're leaving our own home untouched, unhealed. Although it's a noble thing to give to others, it's a noble thing to serve others, it's a noble thing to look out for those who are hurting, especially the children and those who have been treated unfairly and unjustly. That's noble. But you got to take care of your own babies too. You can't take care of your neighbor's child and yours is starving. You can't take care of your neighbor's wounds and you're bleeding. How can we give away that which we don't possess? The Bible teaches that love must begin at home and then spread abroad. We have to take care of that which is within our home and having a heart for others. When you're flying around the world, when you board the aircraft, the flight attendant tells you when she's given you or he's given you the instructions, if you're traveling with a young child or someone needing assistance, put the mask over yourself first and then upon your child or the person who requires assistance. Why? Because if you're passed out, there's no oxygen in you to help anybody, to oxygenate someone else. So you have to remain in a position of strength and power. And the way you do that is take care of yourself. Take better care of your body. We have a body called United States. And she's in need of help. She's in need of assistance. She's in need of detoxification. All through the years, we've listened to the voices around the world to tell us what's going on and opinions, more opinions than news. Recently, I happened upon a news documentary. I guess that's what you call it. I'm not sure. But it had a man by the name of Walter Conkright and another one by the name of Dan Rather. And they were talking about Watergate. It was during the Nixon administration. And I heard them as they presented the facts. It was so sobering, if you will, as I listened and I thought, oh my, decades and decades ago, these men and women, Connie Chung was in it. And I heard them start, you know, I heard them get, you know, share the news. And the news was really news. It was something that people wanted to listen to. It wasn't filled with politics, or it wasn't filled with all of the negative jargon that we hear today. It was simply reporting the facts as they were, to the best of their ability. There was no hype. There was no coloring of the story in order to sell it. It was just what it was. I watched Walter Conkright's background, and it was just a dark background. And he sat there in black and white, giving the facts as they were. But because news is no longer presented as facts, per se, I'm not saying that that's not always the case. Of course not. But it's presented in a way as if it's one long commercial. Yeah? One long commercial to sell you something. And America has been buying the something to sell you their opinion, or to sell you an idea that perhaps is true or maybe it's not true. But it has an agenda. And as I listened to Walter Conkright, Dan Rather, and Connie Chung, they weren't salesmen or women. They were people wanting the American people to know the truth. As they were preparing for President Nixon to give his speech, his resignation speech, they were very respectful. They were very honorable people. It was a very awe moment, you would say, because they approached it with reverence, as if to say, this is tragic, this is sad, that our nation has come to the point that we are considering impeaching a president. And he, understanding, Richard Nixon, understanding that this is 100% possibility, he's decided to step down. And his children were anxiously trying to get him to reconsider that maybe he stood a chance. But he said, no, this is the right thing to do. And when it was considered that he may be tried and maybe convicted, and there's a possibility of being a prosecution, the senators that were around him, either on both Democrat and Republican, they were saying the same thing. Why do that? It doesn't help the nation for us to prosecute our president. They were not going out to destroy the president of the United States. And I don't think it was to favor the man as it was to favor the office and for what it stood for. I said that all along, that whether you agree or disagree with the person, honor the office. The Bible teaches us to pray for those in authority. Pray for those government officials. We know as Christians that the government belongs to God. The government is upon his shoulders. And of his kingdom, of Christ's kingdom, there is no end. So we don't have to fear who's at the head of state as much as we need to fear who's at the head of the universe. Yeah. But because so many people do not consider God in their lives and what they do and how they do it, they say anything, they do anything. And to each man, in his own eyes, he thinks he's right. And therefore, if you have murder in your heart, then you're out to destroy someone else's life just because they didn't do it the way you thought they should do it. Right. Yeah. So maybe he or she was wrong, truly wrong. Maybe he or she did break the law, and that has to be dealt with. But in our journey to heal and detox, can we really afford to be bitter and resentful? Can we really afford to send out that venom as a serpent to destroy someone else's life? So with Dr. Faye, we have to do something. I'm not saying that we don't have to do anything, but as Dan Rather and Connie Chong and Walter Conkright were saying in that video, and presenting in that video, it's a nation that's troubled. When a president is in trouble, it's a nation that's in trouble. We think if we get rid of one that, we can breathe and everything will be better. Not if our hearts remain the same. Not if the venom is still there, not if all of the impurities are still breeding and reproducing among us. We do not become better people because we put a better person in position. There can be a new Pharaoh, but that doesn't mean the tactics and the strategies have changed. We don't change people by changing who's in office. We change people by getting them to understand who God is. And that God is to be reverentially feared. How can we be so flippant as to what comes out of our mouths? How can we say that we love God and yet we hate our brother? You see, we are all brothers and sisters on this planet. You may not like my skin color or the sound of my voice, or you may not like my dialect, and you may not like the fact that I quote scripture and be a woman of faith. I'm your sister, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because that's the way God made it. And one thing for sure, and two for certain, that as you were born into this body, you will leave this body. And you will be accountable for how you treated the people that you encountered or come across in this body. While the finger pointing, the lying, you know somebody's lying, right? You do know that. The finger pointing and the lying continues to run amok from one to another. He said, she said, they said, but who's telling the truth? The truth must be acknowledged and it must be appreciated. The Bible says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. When you come forth in integrity and truth and you're being transparent, because integrity comes with transparency. Transparency is integrity is there. So when you come forth with that, God hears that. God acknowledges that. And the presence of God will breathe upon that and will turn things in your favor. He will just do it. It's heartbreaking because our children have to listen to this news as well. Keep in mind that what you say, your children or your grandchildren, your nieces or your nephews are listening to those words that are coming out of your mouth. And if they're not feeding health, if they're not feeding empowerment to people, then you're doing damage. And if you're doing damage to them, you're also doing damage to your children and your grandchildren. So, well, Dr. Faye, I have a right to my opinion. Of course you do. Of course you do. And we have a right not to hear it. Of course we do. Of course we do. When we look into the grand scheme of things and we see all of the things that are going on in our country, and I don't know everything that's going on, and between you and I, between you and me, I really don't care to know everything that's going on. My mind time is extremely valuable, and how I open it up is important to me. And the Bible teaches me to think on things that are good in Philippians 4. Think on things that are good, that are lovely, that are just, that are pure, that are of a good report. Looking for the good reports. Yeah. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, to think on those things, to think pure thoughts toward my brothers, to think pure thoughts toward my sisters, to think pure thoughts toward my country. America needs healing. And I think pure thoughts toward this country because I believe that through my voice, I can only be accountable for my own voice, that through my voice, that I can offer a message of healing, a message of deliverance, a message of purification and sanctification and holiness, which is not the way you think holiness is. Holiness. To realize who God is and honoring him, reverencing him, appreciating the finished work of Calvary's cross, knowing that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and having a heart that's pure, that honors God in every way, that you don't want to say or do anything that's displeasing to God, because you know this world is not all that there is. If you really believe that, say amen. If you really believe that this world is not all that there is, then say amen, which means so be it. You come into agreement with that. And when you come into agreement with that, you become holy and reverentially fear the name of the Lord God. And you don't want to say anything that's offensive to him. Amen and amen.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The detoxification of America. We look in the Word of God, the man by the name of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. And when we look into Isaiah, and God says to Isaiah in chapter 6 that, I need somebody to go, and who shall I send? Who will go for me? And the Isaiah responds, the prophet responds, and he said, here I am, I'll go. The leadership that America needs today is leadership that will hear the voice of God and yield to the voice of God. There's nothing you can do to make that not be true. It is true, whether you accept it to be your truth or not, accept it to be the truth or not, it is true. A true leader will yield to God's voice and will have fear of God and will not say or do anything that is displeasing to God. Because of social media, thank God for social media. We are here today because of social media. We're able to get the message of the gospel out. And in this season, we're teaching a consciousness. We're teaching about a consciousness of America and of the people around us, because the church needs to be in part be participating in this. Christians need to participate in this process of healing America. As a matter of fact, it is the church's responsibility. It is. Leaders step up when no one else will and listen to God. We spoke about Solomon and what happens when America prays, or what happens when leadership prays. Go back and listen to those in iTunes under Dr. Faye Intentional. Listen to these teachings. They will help you, and share them. Rate and review them and share them, because it's important that people hear these teachings. Leadership prays. Good leadership has a relationship with God. Good leadership surrenders to Jesus Christ. You cannot be a good leader without being a messenger for the Lord. As I listened to the reporting of Dan Rather, Walter Conkright, and Connie Chong, I heard the reports as they were talking about Gerald Ford being vice president and would be sworn in as president the following day by noon. I didn't listen to the entire thing. It was like 2 hours long, okay? So I didn't listen to the entire thing, but I listened to it enough that I knew, I felt the feeling. You know what I mean? You get the feeling, because you can't listen to the news and not be affected and infected by it. You can't. So you have to choose what you hear. Matter of fact, the Bible said, be careful what you hear. Yeah. The psalmist David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Yeah. So I listened to them, and they were talking about Gerald Ford being sworn in by noon the next day. And then the senators who were being interviewed, one of them said they were so blessed to be able to know Gerald Ford because he was a man that met every Wednesday with the prayer group. I went, holy God. Gerald Ford went into prayer every Wednesday with a prayer group. Isn't that wonderful? You see, these are the type of people, that were around in the 60s and this, I guess, early 70s, that had such heart when they reported that they did not take it lightly, that they had an opportunity to share with America everything that was going on Capitol Hill, to share with them the facts, the truth, as they saw it. As a matter of fact, one of them said, and this is the way it is as we see it, or something like that. I don't exactly remember the quote. But that was kind of their signature to saying that this is my way of reporting. This is what I saw. This is what I see. It reminds me of 1 John in the Bible where John said, this then is the message which we have seen, which our eyes have seen, which our ears have heard. He was reporting the experience of walking with Jesus. We report our experience. We report the facts. We can measure the facts, but opinions and accusations and lying just because somebody is paying the bill, it's just not right. It's ungodly. Isaiah said, I will go. I will do this thing, God. I will be the voice for this season. I will be the voice that will speak for truth, even if they can't receive it. Leaders are always ready to surrender to God. And we need godly leadership in order for America to be healed, in order for America to be truly detoxified, to be healed. We must have godly leadership. Yes, yes, and yes. Because it's godly leadership that will take us into a place where we can begin to recover, can hear from God, to get instructions from God, to know how to lead us out of Egypt into the promised land, if you will, to know how to take us from despair into the light. As I shared with you the story of Solomon, after he had finished building the temple of God and the palace, it took 7 years in the building. And when he had finished all of the work, he began to praise God and thank God and offer prayers unto God and sacrifices unto God. And as the people began to bow and worship God, there was so much presence of God in the place that he couldn't stand, for the presence was so strong. Couldn't stand because the presence of God filled that place. When we're in a position where we begin to acknowledge God in everything in our lives, begin to worship him, begin to praise him, begin to thank him for all things that is going on in our world, the presence of God begins to take over. What if the presence of God took over the Oval Office, took over Capitol Hill, Pennsylvania Avenue? What if we had a march on Washington for revival and something broke where you didn't need another law to get crime off of the street because people's lives were really changed? Do you know, in revival studies that I've done, when true revival broke out in a city or in a country even, like in Wales, the bars closed down. There was nobody for the police to arrest because crime started going down because people had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the case for the cross. Jesus Christ is the only one that makes a difference. He's the one that changes a heart and changes a nation and can change the world. When people totally surrender to him, he comes in and he makes the difference. He takes out all the stuff that's keeping us from growing and thriving in him, and he places within us a clean heart. He takes out the foolish heart and he puts a wise heart within us. He gives us his wisdom. He gives us his understanding so that we can grow up and do the things that we're on this earth to do. We become more productive than destructive when we give our hearts to the Lord. And by that I mean asking Jesus Christ to come in to be your Savior and to be your Lord. And if you haven't done that, today is a good day. We look at leadership like John the Baptist in Matthew 3. He was busy baptizing and preaching about the coming of Jesus. He knew that he wasn't the one to be the Savior of the world, but he said, somebody's coming after me. And believe me, his shoes are so holy, I'm not worthy to lace them or unlace them. I'm not worthy to even be in that position with him. But he's coming, and he's going to baptize you, not with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there was an overconfident, bragging group of people around him, religious officials. And they came for the baptism because it was so popular to do. Not because they wanted to change. They just wanted to be known for being there. Yeah? Some people just want to the office, the position, the power. They don't want to change the nation. They don't want to change the community. They don't really want to change lives. No, they just want the office, the position, the power. And John the Baptist tells them, he said, you're not really sincere about your efforts here. Leaders aren't afraid to call it like it is. They have what it takes to be honest with people. In order to be a great leader, you have to be forthcoming. You must be honest. You must be a person of integrity. That rules out a lot of people, sadly. Must be a person of integrity. Pastors, leaders, community leaders, nation leaders, national leaders must be people of integrity in order to be a good leader. People have lived a life for so long, they become delusional. I believe that's the right word, delusional, and think that black is white and white is black and right is wrong and wrong is right. And they're all mixed up and confused and they don't know one from the other anymore. One of the most powerful events in Jesus' life was when he washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And Peter said, oh, no, I don't want you to wash my feet. Not me, not me. I should be washing your feet. And Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part in me. And then Peter jumps in and says, oh, Jesus, Lord, not only wash my feet, just give me a bath. Give me a bath. Wash all of me. Wash my head. Wash all of me. And Jesus says, no, just your feet. And when he finished washing their feet, he said this to them. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought also to go wash another's feet. Mm-hmm. So you know he wasn't just talking about feet. He's talking about being a servant leader. A servant leader. As we heal and detox in this country, we need servant leaders. Servant leaders. What is that man or woman's history? Have they been a servant leader? Before you cast the vote, are they a servant leader? Have they already been doing what they said that they would do? One of the mistakes we make in this country is trying to put people a square peg in a round hole just because we like squares. Instead of examining, are they? Do they? What is their history of personal encounters? How do they treat people? Because again, America is made of people. Yes, with emotions, with feelings. Servant leadership are those people who focus on serving and helping others, and those who follow them. Great leaders are always people who serve others. Look at Mother Teresa. Can you imagine her being the leader of nations? Well, no, she was too soft. She did more work than probably any other human being alive on the planet to change the way people were living their lives. Leadership is servanthood, caring so much about people that you think about what you're going to say and the place from which you come, then your opinion and your fight to be right. You understand what that means? Your fight to be right? There's always this fight to be right in our news. The networks are in battle with each other. Someone has to say these things, right? So I'm like Isaiah, here am I, Lord. I'm here. This battle against the networks as to who's right and who's wrong, this competition, who's going to get the story out first, who's going to have the greatest viewership, who's going to have the greatest sponsorship. Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, and Connie Chong, they had sponsorship for telling the truth. You see, when corruption runs, it runs deep, it runs long. It is wide and is deep. It has no boundaries. But where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. The grace of God, like Moses' rod turned into a serpent and swallowed up the magicians, Pharaoh's magicians' serpents. Grace is the rod of God, and it swallows up sin and all of the darkness all around us. You can have one righteous person in the Senate, one righteous person in the House. You can have one righteous person on Capitol Hill, and God will turn a nation around. You can have one righteous person in your zip code, one righteous person in your community, on your block, or in your home, and God will shift the environment. Because you prayed, because you fasted, because you believed, and you refused to engage in toxicity. You become the firebrand. You become the one. You want to be a brand? Be a firebrand. Be the one that comes and purges out all of the impurities, detoxify the atmosphere, shift the consciousness of those around you, those in the room. Shift. Somebody say shift, shift, and shift. When we began to move into that place of higher vibrations of Christ consciousness, we'll no longer be seduced by those things that have come to slay us in the night season. We wake up in the morning news, or slay us in the day season. We go home to the evening news, and we are slayed by those things. This message must go around the world, because at its core, it's taking the love of God to the nations. It's time to detoxify America. Detoxify our government.
Well, the Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
God can change hearts, and certainly He can change minds. It doesn't matter who it is or where they come from. If God wants them to do something, He's God. Maybe you're one of those people and you say, well, Dr. Faye, I don't really believe in God like you do. Well, ask Him to come into your heart. I'm not trying to convince you to believe, but you can ask Him to come into your heart and experience Him for yourself. Yeah, just do that. Just do that. You're not afraid to do that, are you? Of course you're not. You're not afraid to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You're not afraid of those words, are you? I know you're not. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be born again. You're not afraid of those words. You can say those words and experience Him. So what, is that all it takes to do for you to experience somebody, to experience Christ? Yes, really. That's really all it takes, because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you would be saved. Paul, through his life, recorded in Acts, he was a very enthusiastic individual. He was violent against the Christians, but he turned around to be violent against the darkness. And he wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. His epistles are life-altering, consciousness-shifting, passion-driven. He traveled all across the known world at that time, spreading the message of the gospel and giving his testimony about what Jesus had done in his life. Remember the man by the name of Peter? Yeah, most of us do. Peter denied him three times. Said, I don't know him. I don't know him. But yet Peter was the same one who got out of the boat and walked on the water. He was the same one who recognized, got the revelation who Jesus was. When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they began to reason among themselves, and some said that thou art John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Some say that you're Elijah. And Jesus said, yeah. I hear what you say, they say about me. But who do you say that I am? And then Peter Simon at that time, Simon, son of Barjona, he spoke up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You didn't get this from your own wisdom or knowledge. But you got this from the Holy Spirit. You got this from God. And he says, upon the revelation knowledge, I will build my church. He said, upon this rock. He changed his name from Simon to Peter. And Peter, Petra, meaning rock. He said, you're a chip off the old block. You're a piece of the rock. That's revelation knowledge, is a piece of the rock. You see what I'm saying? That revelation knowledge is a piece of the rock. And it's that revelation knowledge that I will build my church on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The revelation knowledge of who I am. America, this country, detoxification requires the revelation knowledge of who Christ is. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It doesn't matter what comes at us. We'll stand when we stand in God. We can only stand when we're standing in faith. We can only stand when we're standing on truth And Jesus said we would know truth, and the truth would make us free. Yes, the truth would make us free. It would take us from being where we have been to where he wants us to be. His truth. Yeah? The detoxification of America, getting rid of all of the impurities. It will not happen through legislation, darlings. We think the Civil Rights Act of 1965 helped to, we don't think that, we surely know better. But it was a law put in force that forced people to do what their hearts should have told them to do in the first place. You cannot legislate common sense and then still have to send soldiers around the country to enforce it. That's what law does. But the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ would have told people that regardless of your skin color, you still deserve to drink at the same water fountain, eat from the same booth, same counter. The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ would have said, yeah, you can ride anywhere you want to on the bus. The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ would have revealed to people, you don't hang a man just because he's a different skin color. The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ can turn hearts from hearts of stone into hearts that melt before him. The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ is his word being revealed to us, and we cannot get it unless we're in it. It's only words on paper until it becomes spoken, the rhema word spoken. And when it comes alive on the inside of us, it becomes revelation knowledge, and we become living epistles known and read of all men. How wonderful would it be if those in D.C. would understand who J.C. is? We fight over where the cross should be or where the manger should be or whether we should have prayer here or prayer there. The revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ mutes all of those conversations. We would have less man hours on debating and arguing legal points when people receive the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Dr. Fay, you speak as if Jesus is everything. Well, darling, he is. He is. Yes, he is. And if he's not your everything, today is a great day to ask him to come in. He wants to be. Yeah. He wants to be your everything. He wants to detoxify your personal life, the things that have cluttered your soul, that have cluttered your personal lives, that have cluttered your bodies, whatever it is. I know we push detoxification and, you know, drinking our green juice and all those things that we hear in the marketplace. But what about the detoxification of our minds, of our souls, those things that keep us in bondage? What about drinking the pure water of the Holy Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, getting drenched in the presence of God, staying in prayer until prayer has become us, that we become a prayer for someone else, an answered prayer for someone else? How do we detoxify a nation? We detoxify it through beginning right here, through hearing the word of God as it relates to our nation, and hearing the word of God as it relates to us personally. You see, we can have it so right in so many areas, and over here, there's gross darkness. And that's not the Christ life. The Christ life is always growing from grace to grace, from glory to glory to glory. And when we recognize that there is an issue, we are quick to correct it. We don't let it linger, because then darkness takes hold of it, and it doesn't do anyone justice when darkness is in, because Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But thanks be unto God that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Because we know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against spiritual wickedness, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those demonic forces that we can't see, but they certainly manifest through people. But just as those demonic forces are manifesting through people, Christ wants to manifest through us as well. And when he manifests, as I said earlier, he swallows up the darkness. Amen. Amen. He swallows up the darkness. When you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, the room doesn't remember the darkness anymore. It's gone. When the light comes, the darkness dissipates. It is no longer there. And just as that switch is, we're in control of what we allow to come into our hearts and into our minds and what we set in front of us. What would happen if you stop allowing the toxicity from all of the media, social media included, to come into your world? What if you just unplugged from tweets that are always negative? I do. And I thought, how did they get in here? Delete, block, ban? No, I don't want that. I'm not there to argue or debate. That's not my position in life. My brand is to preach the gospel, and I'm going to stay in my lane. And I was brought to this place of bringing together, of being a bridge over troubled waters through this network, to give you an opportunity to take another look at your life and another look at your belief system that you're so passionate about. Yeah? To pause for a moment to say, maybe, just maybe, we need to turn to God. I can't force anybody to receive Jesus, but I can sure tell you about him. That I can do. I can tell you about someone who's very personal to me, a personal savior. An excellent communicator, someone who knows how to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, to instruct me. I heard someone share with me some years ago and said, well, you don't need to ask God everything. I said, well, you live that life. I choose to ask him. I choose. I may not always hear correctly. I may not always move when he tells me to move. But believe me, when I miss it, I know it. And sometimes other people know it as well, especially those who work closely with me. But it's okay. We know how to recover. It's called repentance. And if you need the recovering act of God today, you need to know what's inside of that. It's called repentance. Maybe you have tweeted negatively, or you have posted something that was bashing somebody, even the president or any elected official. It doesn't matter. Repent. Well, it was right. Well, but it's not your righteousness. It's not Christ's righteousness. It's not up to you to destroy someone else's life or their legacy. Whatsoever, let me give you this, and maybe this will help you to understand. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you put out there, you are saying to the world, you're saying to God, bring that back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Bring that back to me. whatever you tweet, whatever you Facebook, social media, whatever you put out there, whatever you say about another, you're asking for that to come back to you. And in some circles, they call that karma. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's the law of sowing and reaping that God put in motion back in Genesis. You can give it any other name you want to, but at the end of the day, whatever you put out there is coming back home, darling. It's coming back home. So change what you say, and you will change what you see. Because that's God's way. That's God's law. I want to pray with you today, and I want to take time to thank you for being a part of this conversation that we're having. I hesitated along the way, but I realized that my surrendering to God is more important than what I was thinking I should do or say. And I want to thank you for your feedback. I want to thank you for your support and just your love. And you're listening and you're sharing. It's important to me. It really is. Father, I thank you for every person who would hear with their spiritual ear. And that you would prepare them to be a true voice that will make a shift, a change around them, in their atmosphere, in their home, in their family, among their loved ones, so wherever they go. Thank you for those, Lord, who stayed with us through the journey, through this teaching today, that they too are saying, Lord Jesus, I repent. Help me to be a better tweeter. Help me to say more positive things. Help me to think from your perspective through your word. Give me an insatiable appetite for truth. For it is the thing that will make people free. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, just ask him, as I said earlier, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I repent. I turn to you. I can't heal my life. I can't change my life, but I know you can. And you can teach me how to walk this life, this journey out in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you don't have a church home, you're always welcome to listen to us here and join us on Wednesday mornings for a church service, Wake Up and Pray. We meet every Wednesday morning at 6:30 p.m. at Central Time. And that number is 641-641-715-3580. That's 641-715-3580. And the access code is 891384#. 891384#. Thank you for listening to us at 7:11 and 7 right here on America Out Loud. Every Sunday, we're your 7-Eleven Faith-Based Out Loud Radio Show. Until next time, this is Dr. Faye. Make it a great day.